We're talking today with Larry Combes, of course, Mr. Combes, former chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, longtime lawmaker from the state of Texas. And Congressman, as we look at this end of the game, or end of the calendar year game of fiscal cliff, what I've been asked multiple times, I'm sure you as well, what's the chance of still hooking up something to this deal and getting a five-year farm bill?
Well, I'm the eternal optimist, also realist in that as well. But I think good. The process that normally one goes through, of course, getting a bill through the House and through the Senate, conferencing the bill and getting a final product, as we all know, didn't work. But the last best chance, actually, that we had on getting a farm bill was actually a little over a year ago when they had the super committee. Agriculture pulled together, came up with a program and a plan. And given the fact that you're looking anywhere between $23 and $35 billion in savings, as they begin to address this fiscal cliff issue, try to turn off sequestration or whatever process they're going through, they're going to need some money. Agriculture, as we have said for many years, is the only department and the only program that actually comes in underspending and where you can save money. And so I think they're going to be looking for that savings in order to offset some of the other areas within sequestration. And I really believe that the chances are good. As we know, the four principals are meeting and discussing. They're trying to work out a common solution to the approach and to the policy. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed because we know that Congress and the administration have to do something on this spending side, and consequently I think that will be very attractive. It'll be attached to a much bigger package, and the chances then of it getting through intact increase substantially.
The fact that these four principals, Mr. Lucas, Ms. Stabenow, and their ranking members working together to give a united front, does that improve the chances?
Yes. You know, at the end of the day, there has to be one bill that moves forward, and so obviously any differences between the House and the Senate have to be worked out. But since they went through that process a little over a year ago on the supercommittee process that was moving forward, of which nothing ever came of that, but in the fact they had that opportunity and that experience, and in the fact that everybody realizes at the end of the day they've got to come up with one policy, that policy will also be determined at such time that the savings amount was attached. So it does help a great deal. At some point in time when they begin to move this ball forward, they're going to do it pretty quickly. And so all of this preliminary work that the two committees and the principals from the two committees have done will not be in vain. It will be that they can get that worked out very quickly. And I think they all want it to happen. Their constituents all want it to happen. Every farmer in the country wants it to happen. So hopefully it'll happen.
If it doesn't, I mean, obviously you've probably played what if with some of your colleagues and some of the folks that you work with and are advising right now. What realistically does happen regarding farm policy in early January?
I used to always make a habit of not answering a question that starts with the word if. But there are a lot of different scenarios. Something has to occur. They're not going to revert back to the permanent law. So something has to occur. And even if they do pass this now, there's got to be a transition period. We used to call it a short-term extension or something of that sort. There is a possibility that, in fact, they would do an extension, but that extension would have some costs in it. I mean, if you how do you do an extension of the current farm program and eliminate all direct payments? And that's, you know, a question nobody has answered yet to me. So they could do an extension. They could take this bill up again next year or a new bill, well, not this bill, but a new bill up next year. So there's a variety of different scenarios. But I really think deep down inside, everybody would like to get this thing done, make it a five-year bill, not have to come back in, and, as we used to say down in Texas, and re-lick this calf again.
I know that Mr. Lucas has said that if that does happen, obviously, if they get pushed over into January, he'll quickly have a markup, try to basically set this bill, I guess, back as their mark.
Yeah, Frank and I have talked about that, and I believe that certainly is the case. It's, you know, while every bill would have to be reintroduced in a new Congress, obviously there's been too much work done to totally abandon it, so I would suspect it would be very similar to what it is now in the House and probably similar to what it is in the Senate. And that then all of this work that has been done wouldn't be for naught. They would come forward with something that they've already done, and I think could do it in a very short fashion. However, you are into a new Congress, you are into a new era of gamesmanship, and I think we really need to take advantage of this pressure that has got all of these other factors of the fiscal cliff and sequestration that run up against a hard deadline. I think we need to try to take advantage of making for sure that the Farm Bill is one of the cars on that train.
If we're able to basically get that train to the station, get a bill in place, how quickly do the long knives come after crop insurance?
Well, the long knives are always out. I mean, you pass a five-year farm bill, and that you have to fight it every year to keep it intact, because people will try to come after it bits and pieces. They will try to come after it through the appropriation process or the reconciliation process or some other process. So you never let your guard down. You always stay in tune and involved in trying to make sure that the product you pass is what stays there for the period of time that the term was set for. So that never ends. If it is a part of a much bigger package, the opportunity for the long knives to get out there and actually have an effect on it are much less than they are if you have a freestanding bill that goes across the floor of the House and the floor of the Senate. But anywhere there's any money, people who have opposition to farm programs are going to always try to come out and get it. So that is a fight that you fight every day.
Of course, there is a pretty good-sized pot of money associated right now with crop insurance.
And basically, that's where the money is. So that's where they're going to go after. You rob the bank because that's where the money is.
One final question as we wrap up. Obviously, you served a number of years representing the Texas, High Plains of Texas region, served in the House Agriculture Committee, shepherded through a farm bill. What's different then versus today? In other words, the atmosphere that you have observed that Mr. Lucas, Ms. Stabenow, these people have had to work in compared to what you were working with?
Well, for one thing, the money. There's such a huge debt and such a huge budget deficit. We actually had a surplus when we did the 2002 Farm Bill, and that helps a great deal. But I guess the thing that probably poisons that well more than anything else is the bitterness and the divisions and the polarization that's going on in Washington. It's sad to see it occur. Fortunately, both the House and the Senate Ag Committees have sort of stayed with the tradition of working in a bipartisan fashion. And certainly Frank Lucas and Colin Peterson on the House Ag Committee, I mean, it was just it was like a concert watching them, and they were the maestros and did a wonderful job at it. And that feeling, I think, still continues. It's not an animosity among people who care about agriculture. It's an animosity among people who spend too much time worrying about politics and not enough about good policy that are creating the problem. So you have to live in that world. But I think the rancor is a lot greater today than it was the 20 years I served.
Can we see much really done in the next 2 years, again, with pretty well status quo decided by the election?
Well, there's a huge philosophical difference between one of the most liberal administrations we've ever had versus one of the most conservative houses of Congress we've ever had. And so, there's going to be a lot of debate, there's going to be a lot of anger, there's going to be a lot of rancor, there's going to be a lot of arguments, there's going to be a lot of meetings. And, I think today a lot of people have seen government become so intrusive that they don't want any more government. They'd like somebody to slow it down, and they may get the chance this year.
Very good.